Good evening. Good to see each and every one. We have had beautiful weather during this meeting. We thank the Lord for that. We haven't had any conditions where somebody was forced to stay home because of the weather, so that's good weather, right? I appreciate all the brethren here and works with the Malden congregation, the preacher, everyone who is responsible for the invitation of letting Cora and I come up here and be with you for a few days. It is good to be with brethren in other areas. We have opportunity to travel to several states to some of our supporters, and in our travels we stop and worship with different congregations. And it's such a pleasure that the Lord has such a tremendously large family that just about anywhere you go, you can have kinfolks. Isn't that amazing? Now, I've had some flesh and blood kinfolks that wasn't too happy to see me a few times. But that isn't so with God's people. We appreciate God and for His wonderful Son that established a plan whereby we can be members of His family. We've been talking about the schoolmaster for a couple of days, and we want to continue that looking, we'll begin in Exodus chapter 2, if you will. In Exodus 2, and beginning in verse 1, says, "And the man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank." This is an account of the birth of Moses. Moses' mother, because of the proclamation by Pharaoh to kill all the little Hebrew children, or the little Hebrew males anyway, Moses' mother hid him in the bulrushes. My dictionary tells me that hide means to put something out of sight, to conceal it, to keep it secret. Well, that's what she did with little baby Moses. She hid little baby Moses. She put him out of sight. She concealed him, and she kept him secret. I remember when I was a little child, we used to play games of hide and seek. And I can remember some times, and especially the older I get, the more of those times seem to be, of hiding things from myself. Unintentionally, most of the time, I put something away and just can't remember. I have found out how to find something, though, in my old age. If you lose something and you want to find it, just go and buy another one just like it. And you can find it. I want to talk about hiding a little bit this evening. Hiding has a lot of synonyms. We've heard of buried treasure, concealed weapons, political cover-ups, and even sweeping dust under the rug. I tried that a couple of times with my mother when I was coming up, but she was a lot smarter than I gave her credit for. And then she used the broom on me. And I didn't sweep dust under the rug anymore. Now, there are numerous accounts of hiding that we can find in the Bible. You remember in 1 Samuel, David hid on several occasions from King Saul. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we read about Elijah hid by the brook Cherith, which flows to the Jordan. And unfortunately, way over in Matthew chapter 25, we have a story of a man with only one talent who hid it in the ground. And it seems that everyone at some time or other tries to hide some things. And grossly, unfortunately, there are some people that even try to hide sin. That's what I want to talk about this evening, about hiding sin. Let's look and see what the Old Testament schoolmaster can teach us about the subject of hiding sin. And might even also take a look in the New Testament as well. I have 6 points in my lesson, so I guess I better get started. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, and I'll begin there. The Old Testament schoolmaster teaches us that some folks try to hide sin. And in fact, it started with the very first two human beings, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God gave those people a paradise, everything that they could possibly need and even possibly want at that point in their history. Genesis 2:9 said, out of the ground, the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for the food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Drop down to verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And we remember the story, I'm sure, of how the serpent came and tempted Eve in Genesis chapter 3. If you look in Genesis 3 and verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Ever since that time, people have been trying to hide themselves in various ways when they do something wrong. But from the very beginning of human history, we can learn that we cannot hide from God. In Psalm 33:13, we are warned that the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. And in the New Testament, Hebrews 4 and verse 13 tells us, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. When Adam and Eve attempted to hide themselves from God, God asked, have you eaten from the tree? God didn't ask that for his own knowledge. He knew what was going on. He asked that for the benefit of Adam and Eve, that they might examine themselves and understand what they had done. God knew where they were, and he knew what they had done. Take a look with me at something in Joshua chapter 6. In Joshua 6 is a story of how God gave a victory over Jericho to the nation of Israel. In Joshua 6 and verse 24, but they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Now in chapter 7, they went to spy out a small town called Ai. Chapter 7 and verse 3 said, they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. In verses 6 through 9, we see Joshua tears his clothes, and he asks God why they had been delivered into the hand of the enemy. In verse 10, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel cannot stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. In verses 16 through 21, we see that Joshua searches through the people of Israel. And it comes to light, there's something wrong about Achan. Achan admits to stealing some things that belonged to God from Jericho and burying it in his tent. Drop down to verse 25. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. There's a tremendous lesson here, people. Sin cannot be hidden from God. Achan and his family, unbeknownst to Joshua, everybody else in the entire nation of Israel, 3 or 4 million people, but God knew. Numbers 32:23, God warns the people of all ages, be sure your sin will find you out. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12 this time. My second point, the Old Testament schoolmaster teaches through David about trying to hide sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 is the story of King David committing adultery with the wife of Uriah and attempting to hide it by bringing Uriah home and then having him killed in battle. In chapter 12, God sent Nathan the prophet to David and told him a story of a poor man who had only one little lamb, and it was like a daughter to him. A rich man came and took the lamb and killed it. When David heard this in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 5, then David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die." Verse 7, Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Sin cannot be hidden from God." Numbers 32 and verse 23 said, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record that when Jesus was taken and questioned by the Jews, Peter tried to hide the fact that he had been one of Jesus' disciples. He denied that he had been with Jesus. In Luke 22:61, the Bible says the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. His sins were found out. Let's look at another account, this time in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 tells about Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some property and gave some money to the church, but they tried to hide the fact that they had kept part of that money back. Acts 5 and verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God." Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down dead at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came in, found her dead, carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Both of them were struck dead because of their sin. As far as they knew, they were the only two people in the universe that knew about their sin. You remember what God tells us in Numbers 32:23? Be sure your sin will find you out. I've given a few examples of some people in the Bible trying to hide their sin. My third point is, why is it that people think that they can hide their sins? You know, a lot of people seem to have the idea that God is like us, and we can get by with hiding things from each other, and we get to thinking maybe we can hide something from God. Psalm 64:5, talking about some folks that they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly, and they say, who will see them? Well, somebody does see them. Go with me to Psalm 139. People fail to remember who God really is and what he can do. In Psalm 139 and verse 1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Can any of us see into heaven or hell? I seriously doubt that. But look in verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. God can see even beyond this life, people. And since God is capable of not only seeing in this physical universe, but seeing into the spiritual realm as well, why do people think that they can hide things from God in this life? Well, some people think, if I do it at nighttime, he won't see me. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Do you understand what he's telling us? Just because we can't see when it gets dark doesn't mean that God can't see. In fact, God can see just as well at night as he can in the daytime. Back up to Psalm 92 this time. Some people must think they're smarter than God. I absolutely believe some folks think they can fool God. Remember 1 Samuel 16:7, God says he looks at the heart. It takes a fool to try to outsmart God. Psalm 92:5 says, O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Look at Psalm 94. Psalm 94:4 talks about some folks. They utter speech and speak insolent things, all the workers of iniquity, boasting themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and to murder the fatherless, yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man that of men that they are futile. You remember in the New Testament, Hebrews 4:13 said, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. My fourth point is, the Old Testament schoolmaster shows that there are a lot of different ways that people tried to hide their sins. Some people even try to deny that they have any sins. You remember Cain? Cain killed his brother. God came to him and said, Where's your brother? Cain answered them, I'm my brother's keeper. Cain was trying to hide his sin from God. Cain tried to hide his sin from God by denying it. There are other folks who try to hide their sins by denying it. Proverbs 30 and verse 20 said, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. Now you and I might not be guilty of murder or adultery, but we're all guilty of something. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, since we have sinned, we know ourselves that we have sinned, why make that worse by trying to hide those sins? Even the children of God sin. 1 John 1 and verse 8 says, we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. If you drop down to verse 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his truth is not in us. Back up with me to 2 Samuel chapter 13. Some folks try to cover up the sins. There are some sins that are very deeply instilled within people's heart. You look at them, you couldn't tell it at all. Here's a case in 2 Samuel 13:1. Now after this, it was so that Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. And then the story tells us that Amnon made out like he was sick, and he asked David to send Tamar in to him to minister to him while he was sick. But when she came in, he forced himself upon her. Poor girl had no idea that he had sin in his heart. She was trying to do some good for him. And then Tamar's brother Absalom despised Amnon for what he had done. But Absalom hid his feelings, and he later conspired against him and killed him. You know, there's an old saying, behold what evil lurks in the hearts of men. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Some sins are called by other names in an effort to conceal that they are sin. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God says there's something called adultery. People paint over it and write affairs on it. What God calls fornication, some people call it making love. When God says a man is stealing something, they don't like stealing, so they say embezzlement. Homosexuality and effeminates in our day and time are called a gay lifestyle. 1 John 3 and verse 4 tells us in the King James Version that sin is transgression of the law. Any transgression of God's law is sin. I don't care what kind of name you might put on it. Sin by any other name still separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that you will not hear. I've run across a few skunks in my lifetime. Any of y'all ever smelled a skunk? You don't need to raise your hand. I'm sure some of you have. A skunk is kind of like a big bushy cat. Most of them have a white stripe down the back. Some of them a little different than that. You can take a skunk, I'm going to tell you, you can paint all that white out. You can paint him totally black. But when you smell him, he's still a skunk. People try to paint over their sins by calling them by other names. But God can still smell those sins. You understand? God can still tell whether a person is sinning or not. That's why we are warned in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sins will find you out. Why? God can see them, he can smell them, he can tell whether what is sin and what is not. And Ecclesiastes 12:14 tells us that God will someday bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. So don't think you're so wise if you think you're hiding something. This time, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Some folks try to justify their actions in an attempt to hide sin. In 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 3, God sent Samuel to Saul to tell him to utterly destroy the Amalekites because they had tried to destroy Israel in earlier years. Verse 7 says, Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything that was despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Drop down to verse 13. Samuel went to Saul. Saul said to him, "Blessed are you the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Look at verse 20. Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things, which had have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." Verse 22, so Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king." Saul, evidently, even though he had broken the command of the Lord, didn't act like he was doing anything wrong. And furthermore, he tried to justify his actions. You know, a lot of people today are in sin. I've been in that condition myself before I heard of the Church of Christ. I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong. There are folks on this planet who try to justify the fornication by saying, "We in love." Love doesn't justify sin. Some husbands try to justify adulterous relationships by saying, "Well, my wife won't cook for me anymore. She's gotten kind of fat, won't keep the house." There's some wives, on the other hand, that try to justify their adulterous relationships. "Well, you know, my husband act like he won't be around me no more. He don't pay any attention to me." People, there is no justification for sin. People, there is no justification for sin. There is no excuse for sin. There is no reason for sin. In my younger years, I knew a man that used to steal. And he told me, "I only steal from people who can afford it." 1 John 3 and verse 4, sin is transgression of the law. Any transgression, stealing is transgression of the law. If you steal a penny, that's transgression of the law. If you steal a dollar, that's transgression of the law. And I don't care if you steal it from rich people and poor folks. It's transgression of the law. And just because a man has a lot of material goods and you steal something from him and he never misses it, somebody else misses it. Somebody else sees it. Ephesians 4 verse 28 tells Christians, "Let him who stole steal no longer." One version says, "Steal no more." That don't mean you can steal as much as you used to. That means don't steal any at all. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, "Not forsaking our own assembling." Let me ask you a question, especially in the light of Hebrews 10:25. Should we who are members of the Church of Christ, should we come to services? Should we come to the worship of the church? Why is it that members of the Church of Christ will try and make all kind of excuses to stay home. I've heard some people say I was sick, but bright and early the next morning they'd pop up at 5 or 6 o'clock and they'd be at work at 7 or 8 o'clock. Nothing changed from the day before. Some say I had some family, I had some friends visiting with me. How come we can't ask family and friends to come visit the surfers with us? And if they refuse, well, who do we love the most? Matthew 10:37, Jesus teaches that if we love others more than him, we're not worthy of him. There are a lot of little sins that people try to hide, but God warns us again in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Let's go to the New Testament, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Point number 5. The New Testament also teaches that we cannot hide sin. The Bible teaches us sin is like a cancer. We may not see it for a while, but sooner or later, it's going to break out for all to see. It's going to bring about our downfall. Sin is like cancer. Look in 2 Timothy 2:17. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. Cancer oftentimes will stay hidden within a person's body for years and years, but eventually it breaks out and is exposed. People oftentimes sin for years, some of them even in the church, and it seems like they're getting by with it. And it's a possibility, folks, you may be smart enough to hide your sin until you die, but it will be exposed. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Old and the New Testaments teach us there's going to be a judgment for sin. Ecclesiastes 12:14, that God will bring everything into judgment with every secret thing. In the New Testament, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In that judgment, people, every sin will be exposed. 1 Corinthians 4:5 said, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Let's take another look at the Old Testament schoolmaster. Go with me to Ezekiel 18. My sixth point, my last point, the Old and the New Testaments teach that sin is deadly. Sin cannot be hidden. And since sin is so deadly and it cannot be hidden, we need to get rid of it. It needs to be eliminated. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20 said, the soul who sinned shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23 tells us that all of us have sinned. And once our souls are contaminated by sin, people, the only way to get rid of it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22 teaches us without shedding of blood, there is no remission. But in Hebrews 10:4 says it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. The Old Testament had no provision to remove sin. The blood of animals cannot remove the sins of people. This is why Jesus could say in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood, look at this, of the New Testament, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. Then the only way to get remission of sins, to get sins removed, is through the blood of Christ. This is why Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, look at this, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto remission of sins. 1 Peter 3:21, King James Version said, baptism doth also now save us. And when one is baptized, the Lord adds that person to the church, according to Acts 2:47. Let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1. The only way to get forgiveness is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Where is this forgiveness of sins? Paul said, in him, that's in Christ. How do we get into Christ? Well, let's back up to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians 3:23 said, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith, which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor, our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Why then did the Old Testament, why did this tutor, why did the schoolmaster have to bring us to Christ? Because the Old Testament was based on the blood of animals. Hebrews 10:4, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Thus we read in Acts 4:12, there's none other name, talking about Jesus Christ, there's none other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. Moses can't save us. No one else who has ever lived in the history of humanity can save us except Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus could say in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. Thus we read in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What saves? The gospel saves. And what does the gospel teach? Well, Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes, believes what? Believes the gospel. And is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe, the King James Version said, he will be damned. And when a person is baptized, you need to understand, according to Paul in Romans 6 and verse 4, when you come out of the waters of baptism, you are rising to walk in newness of life. That newness of life includes what Christ instructs us in Revelation 2:10, to be faithful unto death in order to receive the crown of life. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned. God knows about our sins. You know he knows about our sins. What is going to happen to us people if we do not get rid of our sins? John 8:21, Jesus says, if we die in those sins, we are not going where he is. In fact, he puts it this way in Matthew 25:30, cast out the unprofitable servant. In the outer darkness there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And Mark 9, verse 44, tells us it is a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 32. Romans 3 and verse 23. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the Old Testament schoolmaster teaches us that there's some folks who try to hide their sins. Why do people think that they can hide their sins? Hebrews 4 verse 13, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to him, eyes of him to whom we must give account. Some people try to deny their sins. Some people will try to cover up their sins. Some people call their sins by other names. Some people try to justify their sins. People, we cannot hide our sins. Numbers 32, 20 through 22. Moses tells the nation of Israel that there are some things that they need to do. In verse 23, but if you do not do so, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Romans 3:23, we have all sinned, people. The Old Testament could not get rid of those sins. And because the Old Testament could not get rid of those sins, the schoolmaster brought all of those people all the way up to Jesus Christ in order that we might get forgiveness of sins under the blood of Jesus under his New Testament. God has now provided a way whereby mankind can get rid of our sins. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. And if you are a member of the Church of Christ, 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What about you? We've all sinned. Have you gotten rid of those sins? Don't you want to get rid of your sin? Don't you want to go to heaven? Now, I've told you how God says he can take away your sins. Whoa! You can't hide them from God. God is waiting on you to get rid of your sin. If there's some way that we can help you do that, let us know after we stand and sing a song.